going.
Where are you, man?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
We are the Knight!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello out there, and welcome to the Knights of Nerditude podcast, a podcast for all things nerd. I am your host tonight, Sean, radioing out from Deep 13, and on the Skype hotline I've got...
Exotic John.
I live my life one quarter at a quarter mile at a time, Sam.
And silence from Chris.
Oh, and this is Dr. Chris. I'm sorry.
Chris is a little preoccupied with World of Warcraft.
I know. My addiction came back. That's all right. I'm done. I'm finishing up.
We actually are cutting a podcast tonight. This is an intervention.
Is that what it is? Oh, well, either way, I only made it to level 5.
So as you can see, or hear everyone out there, we are getting hit pretty hard with cabin fever.
Yeah.
Well,
very much.
You
so.
Three are. I still have to report to work every day because I'm essential. Yay me!
I'm essential too. So like, blow me.
Yeah.
Did you get a fun little piece of paper that says "Give to cops if you get pulled over"? Because I did.
No, because my state isn't fucking whack. It doesn't lock us all down.
Actually, you are locked down right now.
Yeah, dude, we are locked down over here.
It's not an order.
I think it was awesome just because it was so delayed.
I know. Anyways, so we got a lot. We got a handful of things on our docket this week. We all saw a movie. We all saw parts of a documentary on Netflix. Well, we'll save what that is till later, because it's going to be juicy. I'm excited for it. But more or less, let's talk John and I. Westworld, episode 2 of season 3. This one follows Bernard a lot and Maeve. Wow, there's like nothing, John.
Oh, sorry. No, your lips are moving.
He's playing World of Warcraft too.
I guess so.
I'm also playing Europa Universalis over here. Okay. Because mine is very short and brief.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
What did you think of this episode? The second installment.
What did I think? So kind of return back to the parks, which is interesting. Honestly, it followed probably all of our favorite character, Maeve, for most of it, and her escape, which I thought was pretty interesting. Like the whole, like, you know, dead characters that you thought were dead are now back, but then like it's kind of like, and she's just literally escaping from her prison throughout this entire episode, and it's her like working through everything. And you really don't understand that something's up until she wakes up in the behind the scenes getting worked on, and the two guys who helped her in season 1 don't even recognize who she is. So like right there she's like, something's going on. And then, you know, the writer shows up with a limp and a cane and is like, oh yeah, they shot me like 12 times, but I'm alive.
Right, I'm not dead, folks. Turns to the camera, smiles.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I for what this episode was, I enjoyed it because honestly, we stated last week, not quite sure Dolores' endgame here, and not sure if I even care about Dolores. Although we did find out that the third Hemsworth brother is a a host, a replicant or whatever. Turns out that happened, yeah. Which I'm kind of happy that they did it so early on. They were like, oh yeah, by the way, it wasn't like this big reveal, like dragging it on throughout the entire season.
Remember this character you don't care about? He's actually a replicant.
Yeah, like I'm happy that they were just like, oh yeah, no, he's not human. Oh, okay, that's fine. Moving on with the story. So
yeah. I guess, look, I really enjoyed the Maeve Resistance like little thing. Like that was, I mean, look, the show knows how to do a certain thing very well. Mm. And that's one of them. Like a nice action scene, very crisp. And yeah, and then you realize he doesn't even recognize who, doesn't even know who she actually is, sort of thing. The guy who's the, what do you call it, Bandit or whatever?
Oh, the spot. First yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that. Then we get Bernard, who shows up, and I guess just finds his way into Westworld because he hired
the boat guy
to bring him out there. And then he starts talking to the Hemsworth, and it's like, oh, well, he's a robot. And then they start talking about, like, what was it, the bridge? And yeah. What's the name for the thing? That's the, like, mind behind Westworld or whatever.
Is it the Forge?
Yeah. So they start talking about all that stuff, and I'm like, you know what, guys? I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yep.
I'm done. I just, like, shut it off. And I might go back and rewatch and finish it, but, like, it's like, yeah, I don't need to see this.
No. We're good. Yeah. Well, luckily, they leave Westworld at the end. So, spoiler.
Okay. So maybe I pulled the plug a little too quickly. Yeah. But
which is, yeah, it's understandable because honestly, I'm done with Westworld. I'm done. Like, I don't want to go back to the park anymore.
Yeah, Westworld, the location and setting within the show of the same.
Yes, the park I'm done with, but I'm curious to see what's going on outside of the park, which I'm believe, and I don't know why it took me so long to think of this, but you know how it keeps, there's that circle thing that detects anomalies. Yeah. That's the giant orb from the first one, from the first episode.
No, so. I myself put it together watching the second episode. I was like, oh, that's probably.
Yeah, because I mean,
the first, like, yeah.
Yeah, you have no idea. So, but yeah, so I'll continue. It seems like the next episode is going to be Dolores heavy, and it's just like, I don't want to do that, but whatever. So,
yeah.
Any final thoughts? Nope.
No, and knowing what I know, maybe I'll go back and watch it. But you know, my interest was so picked with that first episode and the promise of kind of, you know, more of a harder sci-fi versus whatever.
Yeah.
I kind of don't want to go back, and so maybe I should go check it out and finish it. But yeah, no more Westworld. We're good.
Right.
We're good. Although the Nazi world.
Yeah.
That one's kind
of that was kind of cool. Anyways,
because the whole time you think like the Nazis are hunting you and shit like that'd be kind of a cool experience.
Yeah.
Now do you think you get to play at all as a Nazi in that one, and not in as in like you're undercover as a Nazi, but you're actually like, you know, like a let's see, what's that movie, Where Eagles Dare type situation, you know? Do you think do you think they actually let you play as a Nazi? You think that's like okay socially in like 2045 or whatever?
I can't see why not. Like, why not? Because I mean, let's be honest. If I go into a park like a Nazi park, and I play it enough, I'm gonna get bored with the story, and every once in a while, I'm gonna be like, "What would it be like if I played as the bad guy?" And I'd want to play as the bad guy. So,
and you know, man, I've been working on my German accent, and like, I kind of just. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. All right.
I just want to see what genocide's like from the other side.
Jesus, Sam.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right.
Moving on.
They're wonderful. Yeah. So to join everyone else on the internet this weekend, Dark Phoenix dropped on HBO this past weekend, and it seemed like everyone watched it because everybody was curious as to how bad this movie could actually be. So we all watched it. Sam, did you watch it?
I didn't watch it.
Of course you didn't. Chris, you watched it, right?
Absolutely, watched this movie.
I want to hear your thoughts.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
So I'm actually happy that everybody watched it. Number one, because you know it's not far fetched that you guys wouldn't watch something. So if you ever want to find a movie where people phone it in, all of them, this is definitely that movie for you.
I don't know if Sophie Turner phoned it in or just can't act.
I think it's a mixture of those two. Well, not those two, but Sophie Turner and the guy who plays Beast. I forget his name.
Is it Nicholas Holt?
Nicholas Holt. Yeah. So those two, they didn't phone it in because they're young. But they're too young, and they overact.
What's that?
Holt is actually pretty old. He's been acting since he was like a little kid. So I mean, and he's been in some Oscar-nominated movies. So it's like this isn't abnormal for him. Whereas Sophie Turner, it's like outside of Game of Thrones, what has she done? Not much.
No, and I get that, but I mean this movie was. Just god awful from start to finish, and I mean this made Apocalypse look like an Oscar worthy movie, which I didn't hate Apocalypse as much as you guys did, but I definitely think this thing just went off the rails completely.
Apocalypse wasn't bad, it was just boring.
Yeah,
I can say that too, and this is just it's just insert token bad guy from outside planet here.
Yes.
And like, Jessica we have Chastain. This,
like literally every single time.
I guess, but Apocalypse was kind of a. I mean, Apocalypse wasn't really a bad guy from an outside source. It was kind of.
He's the original. With him
because he was there from. Yeah, he was there from the beginning, you know? So
he's supposed to be. And a lot of those other ones. Uber bad guy, whereas this is supposed to be an alien going after the Phoenix Force. Let me ask a question. Can you guys tell me what the bad guy's name actually is?
Hell no.
Jimmy.
Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, what's her character's name?
I think it's like Vuk.
Yeah, it's Vuk. Yeah, V-U-K. Because I don't think they say it at all in the movie. I don't think they even really dwell upon what they are, like as a race of alien beings. They really don't dwell on that. There's like that one.
There's that one info dump when they take her up to that room in that random house.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, there's no
2 minute scene.
You're right. There's no. Fantastic quality from John Zen right there.
Can I just admit, Vuk sounds like a slur.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like one of those sci-fi channel slurs.
It sounds like I shouldn't be insulted that you said that.
It's what's that? What do they use to say in Battlestar? Frack? Is that what it was?
I don't know.
What
the frack? I never watched it.
Yeah.
I never watched it, but I knew they had like some word that they were like, yay, we could swear now. We just made up a word.
No, it's the bad guys. I mean, they're a small piece of the problem. The problem is there's no, like, the whole Michael Fassbender little camp in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, why? What? You just needed an excuse to insert Magneto here.
Oh, God. That was supposed to be, oh, God. It's from the comics where all the mutants live.
Yeah, that's fine, but they didn't fit into this movie at all.
No, not at all. Like
it didn't fit.
The troops show up and like
it was
so bad. I thought Stryker was gonna be there at least.
I did too. Like do a callback or something.
They're like, well, we can't afford that guy.
There's been like three different people to play Stryker too. It's like apparently they couldn't afford any of them.
I feel like this movie spent a lot of money on CGI, and then when they got the final product, they saw that it was bad, and then they went back to the studio and asked for their money back, but in doing so they actually got a lower quality. they diminished the quality of the CGI a little bit, But the movie, the story, the plot itself does not flow.
No,
at all. It's you can get rid of the entire middle part of this movie, and you completely have a 6-page comic book, and that's it. That's all you needed to tell this story, not an hour and a half movie. And the aliens, I don't even know what the point of the aliens is.
Right.
No idea. Yeah. No idea what the point of the aliens is.
This whole movie, I watched it with my wife, and she was like, I don't understand anybody in this movie. She was like, have I seen the other movies? I was like, yeah, you've seen at least two of them. She's like, I don't know who anybody is other than, like, you know, oh, he's Professor X. He's Beast. But even like when Fassbender shows up, Amy's like, who is that? It's like, oh, that's Magneto. She's like, it is? Oh, okay. Like, this movie relied more on you, the audience, having seen the previous movies than it did on character development. There was no character development. Like, did I feel bad when Raven died? No, because she was easily phoning it in, like you said.
Oh, Jesus. She was phoning it in the most.
Like,
she just needed a paycheck. That's really all it was.
After Days of Future Past, I didn't care about the character anymore. Like, after that movie, like, that was, like, her movie to be in. Like, and she did a really good job. And after that, I stopped caring.
To be honest, though, everybody knew before they even started filming this movie that she didn't want to do it anymore.
Right. She decided to come back because she wanted to actually give her character an end, like a definitive ending, rather than her just like randomly not showing up anymore or being recast. She didn't want that, which I completely understand. Like, that's fine with me. But I mean, to just be like, phone it in between her and then was it Evan Peters, like Quicksilver, barely being in this movie, and like,
oh, can we okay? Did anybody like pay attention to the last fight scene, the final fight scene,
if you want to call it that? Yes.
So, when they were all on the train and stuff, Quicksilver was also on that train. And
was he? No, he wasn't.
I could have swore he was on the train.
Hurt after the fight with Jean Grey, in that town. He gets severely hurt, and he's taken off on a stretcher after that fight.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's not.
Okay, so I thought he was on the train. Why would you, number one, why would you just leave Quicksilver off of a mutant train anyway?
Because apparently he's like super hurt because he fell. Like, when did falling ever stop him?
No. That's not it. It's just, they're like, oh, well, let's try and save some money here. He's a little bit too OP to to be on this train right now.
Yeah.
He's completely missing in that final fight scene.
Part of me liked that final fight scene on the train, just the train part. It was cool, but at the same time, you have this like horde of something because they like, you know, they're aliens, but you're not quite sure what they are. But you just have this horde of these things getting like, some of them are like bullet sponges and get back up, and some of them takes a shot to the head and they're dead. Like, there's no consistency on these things. Like, just the thought behind this movie is just so dumb, and you can tell that the train sequence was all in reshoots. Like, it's so obvious because the climax of that whole battle is just dumb. Where it's like, well, let's fly into space and explode now. Bye.
Yeah,
that's it. There was no fight.
And must go. My planet needs me.
It was exactly that. It was because Chastain's character is trying to steal the Phoenix Force from Jean Grey, and Jean's like, you want it? And then they fly up into space, and she's like, ah, and then turns into the Phoenix, like, of energy. And then everybody's like, oh, she's dead. Let's name the school after her.
It's one of those. I think the Dark Phoenix story just kind of summing everything up, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because it's a shitty movie, but like, Dark Phoenix, there are certain comic book stories that should never be made into movies just because of the complexity and the end result.
Yeah.
In this case, Dark Phoenix is one of them. I 100% disagree with you.
This comes so the this has been adapted twice now. Last Stand and now Dark Phoenix. Yeah,
exactly.
Both times it was written by the same guy. The same guy got it wrong twice.
But
he got it correct this time.
What? Yeah, well,
it was the same guy directing it this time.
Well, no, he wrote Last Stand, and then he wrote and directed Dark Phoenix. So you literally, there was a problem with this the story the first time around. So to learn from their mistakes, they rehired the guy who did a horrible job with the story to write a new story about the same thing.
Yeah, but didn't he like also do like Days of Future Past? And
he was a co-writer on those. He was co-writer on those.
He, like, but he like wrote everything since X3.
Yeah, I mean Simon Kinberg's like done stuff. Like, you know, I mean I wouldn't say like that was. I mean that was an interesting choice. Don't get me wrong, but like I wouldn't be like, well, this is disqualifying because he's done other stuff since and been fine.
Right, but like, how do you hire somebody back for something they messed up? Like, it makes no sense.
Well, frankly, I mean, he also did Apocalypse, which like,
right? Well, yeah, Apocalypse, he wrote that. He did Fan Four Stick. Like, he doesn't have a great track record for superhero movies.
I just think this is one of those storylines that should not be made into a movie.
I think you put it in an actual fan's hand, I think it'll be fine.
I think one of the big problems of this movie is like it becomes that like South Park episode where Eric's the psychic or tricking people into thinking he's a psychic.
Oh, the psychic
and it's
light?
Just like it's like, you know, Charles Xavier, Professor X, and like Jean Grey just like pointing at each other, being like, nya, 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 nya. Like that's I mean, it's a little oversimplification, but that's like effectively what it is, right? I mean,
there was the fight between like, Xavier and that other psychic lady in New York City, where they're literally doing that. They're like on the street, like going like towards each other while the fight is going on around them. Like,
oh, and then what's face shoots her or whatever.
Yeah,
Which I did not watch like the last 30 minutes of this because why?
Yeah, all like, that was reshoots.
You didn't need to.
Yeah. Well, yeah. All because
reshoots. Obviously, it was reshot, but it was they completely changed the ending, or at the very least, changed how the ending. Like, I think it was originally supposed to be set in space.
Yeah, it was basically take the final act of Captain Marvel and add the X-Men, and that's what this movie was going to be.
Right. Which, like, to me, you know. Look, I don't know if it was Disney being like, look, I don't want you guys to make of Captain Marvel and being like, well, we're just going to reshoot. But if I hope honestly, that makes way more sense than just being like the, you know, Fox X-Men producers being like, oh, that's too much like Captain Marvel. Mm. Let's change our movie just for that reason. Not because it's like fitting anymore, just because, you know, people are going to think it's the same. Like, when in reality, that's not even how movies work, you know? Like, you can't just change something like 6 months before it comes out.
Yeah. Anyway, so any final thoughts on this movie?
Jessica Chastain, you can do better. So much better.
She looks like Edgar Winter in this movie. For those who know who Edgar Winter is, she looks like an albino.
Yeah,
that doesn't. Yeah, but that's a
no. But it was weird. She looked
it
odd.
Was weird.
Anyways,
so I think there's a certain, you know, look. I think the whole storyline's played out. The whole, you know, first class X-Men movies. It's just done.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, there's just, like, no charisma or charm about any of the characters whatsoever.
No.
And the movie is bringing, like, nothing else to the table.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Like, look, all those Spider-Man movies are, like, they're not incredible, but, like, Tom Holland does a really good job of being Spider-Man, and, like, you root for him, and stuff like that. Like, I think even like Iron Man 2 and 3 are like sort of salvageable movies because Robert Downey Jr. does it so well.
Yeah.
But nobody in this case comes anywhere near that.
Yeah.
No, like, it's a whole different universe.
I honestly can't tell you like who my favorite character was in this. Like, my favorite moment was when everybody's like partying afterwards and there's that girl like singing, and I was like, hey, that's Dazzler, isn't it? And then I look it up, I'm like, yep, I was right. Cool.
See, that struck me as very much like Matrix Reloaded of like, well, this is just kind of dumb.
Yeah, it was dumb. But like, I was like, hey, I know that character from the comics because it's kind of dumb. And I was right.
Like, honestly, I feel like, Sean, even watching it, like, the like most someone's going to get out of it is like somebody like you who's like picking out all the random guys who don't even have lines.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that guy's that guy because he's got the weird makeup on.
Right.
Yeah. My favorite part is in the end, the callback with the chess matches. Like, yeah. That's it, you know?
What, did he make the thing move?
No, how, like, in X1, that's basically what they were doing in the park. It's playing chess. And it's kind of a callback to how it all started.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
There's a great part of X3, though. Say what you want about that move. That rocked.
Yeah, no, it had its good points, but the problem was a majority of it was just bad.
Few and so very far between. Yeah. One last note. Nightcrawler.
Yes.
Looking a little bit like he came straight from Pandora, right?
Well, I mean, he's like supposed to look like a demon.
I know. And, like, I know how his dad looks from the first movie.
Yes, from First Class.
But, like, right. But, like, come on. He looked like a fucking whatever. A Nevi or whatever.
Navi.
Like, come on. Like, it was really bad.
Anyways.
All right. We can't spend any more time.
No, I'm done. We're moving on. Sam finally gets to talk now.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah.
Hi,
everybody. We're going to go Sam. We've been teasing it for so many weeks. Sam finally watched Fast and the Furious. Is it the Fast and the Furious or Fast and the Furious?
All the articles. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the very first movie.
So just a little story. I completely forgot that there is The Fast and The Furious and Fast and Furious, two separate movies. So for the first, I watched the first 5 minutes of Fast and Furious.
Well, that sounds about right.
I have to say I was a little upset because, Chris, you've seen these movies, right?
Multiple times.
Okay, so the beginning of Fast and Furious, there's a truck driver who has an iguana in his cabin.
Yes.
And I fell in love with that character, and now I just want a movie following him around. And I'm upset that I won't get any more of the iguana guy.
Oh, boy.
I did end up watching The Fast and The Furious.
Yep. Which, now, picture, just for example, myself, I think what year did this movie come out?
2001.
So I just got my license. Got my license. And you see these movies and you see those race scenes. And, Rife, you remember, did I or did I not have a strobe light in my backseat?
Oh yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yes, I did. I think I had two. Did I have two?
I remember a lot of underglow inside of cars around that time, and
that was mine. That was me, and it strobed to the music. It like thumped to the music. Yep. In my what car did I drive? That's right, Mercury Sable sedan.
Nice.
That said, Sam, please tell me what you think about this movie. I really want to know.
Okay, this is the douchiest movie I've ever seen.
think that's being harsh.
that is being harsh.
I'm hard pressed to think of a douchier movie than this, and this movie is so 2001. Like, just at the very, very beginning, they're having that first street race, and I'm just, like, sitting there, like, man, like, no one would make this perfect if Limp Bizkit started playing, and then we get Limp Bizkit playing.
Yeah, we do. Yes, we do.
And Chris, I am upset. You buried the lead with this movie. Ja Rule is in it.
Just wait until what's his face comes back and is it Ludacris?
Yeah,
comes
Ludacris. In later?
Ludacris is in it later.
But like Ja Rule.
Ja.
And he has probably
as his friends call him. Ja.
Ja. And he has probably the best line in the whole movie is after he's in it for literally like 15 minutes because he's only in that first street race. But he gets promised by his, what I can only assume, and I don't know if this is the right word, is his hoe. he gets promised a three-way with another girl if he wins the race. So, as the race starts, he screams out, "Let's go, Minaj."
Yeah, that's the girl's name. Sam.
That was her name?
Yes.
I thought it was alluding to a menage a trois.
No. That was her name.
Okay, I gave this movie too much credit.
Is that the name? And then when the car passes him by, he's like, "Monica, no! Yeah.
Monica, no!" Yeah. I was really impressed with when they go into the engine in that scene and we get some solid Spider-Man 2 graphics.
What year did... No, because that wouldn't be Spider-Man 2, right?
It looked like the opening credits to Spider-Man 2. That's just all I'm saying.
No, but that's not... This movie came out before then, so... Yeah, if anything, they set the trend. Fast and Furious is setting trends, Sam.
Oh God,
that's all you need to know.
Okay, so this movie and its like casual racism towards Asian people. I mean, like, I remember that first race. They're like going into each car, and they're like, "Oh, they're all turning on the NOS and stuff." And they get to the Asian guy, and of course, he's playing a video game.
Oh Jesus!
Oh, that's right.
Sam, anything else about this movie plot?
Plot-wise,
it was. I have to admit, the plot was actually pretty good. It was just basic. It was your basic.
It was every single one of your undercover cop movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just your basic undercover cop movie. Well,
no,
it really
no.
is just an undercover cop movie, but then this thing, I mean, it's like Point Blank. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Except instead of, you know, snowboards and, oh no, that's the other one. Instead of surfboards and whatever, it's just drag racing.
So Sam, I'm my guess is this movie did not make you like cars.
Not really. I feel like you have to like cars going into this.
Yeah, okay. So it's not up your alley anyway. So, but I appreciate you watching it.
No, I will keep watching this series because I hear it gets good.
Are you like turned off by this after this movie, or are you just ready for a ride?
I'm ready. I'm in this to win it. Listen, all
right. Sam's taking this quarter movie at a time.
Yeah, one quarter movie at a time.
Okay, the movies do get a lot better, though, I have to admit. But this one was...
Is it after Tokyo Drift or the one after that?
I think Tokyo Drift is the... What is it?
Third one.
Third one. So it's the one after that. So it'll be Fast and Furious, and then Fast... I think the peak is Fast 5. That's in Brazil. Oh, you're way. You have a little ways to go.
Yeah, I know. So
Too Fast, Too Furious is next, right? It's Too Fast, Too Furious next, and then it's Fast and Furious, right? And then it's Tokyo Drift.
No, it's Tokyo Drift, then Fast and Furious.
Then Too Fast.
Okay. Yeah, you're gonna have so much fun watching Too Fast, Too Furious.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah, you're gonna have so much fun watching that one.
It looks like this one's gonna be worse, though.
It is. It's 10 times worse. It's really bad.
Is at least Ja Rule in it? I mean,
no, Luda's in it.
No, you get introduced to Ludacris in this one.
I will admit, I laughed at a lot of parts of this movie because it just has some terrible dialogue moments. Like I remember, I wrote down this one at the very beginning when Paul Walker gets into a confrontation with Douchey McDoucherson and Vin Diesel breaks it up. Paul Walker says, "He was in my face," and Vin Diesel responds with, "Now I'm in your face." Can I mention Paul Walker's eyes are disturbingly blue?
Well, like, he's a pretty man.
Is he a White Walker? Like, his eyes are disturbingly blue.
Do you think he was partially cast in that? It's because he's a pretty boy.
No, Sam, he's Paul Walker.
Oh boy.
I did like how the sergeant guy who was like his cop guy friend, the guy from Monk, he was trying to look really hard like Bill Cower.
Yeah, okay, I get that. But
first time I saw it, like Bill Cower.
I love how you're getting harped up on that one thing right there when there's a million other things you can.
Ted
Levine?
Yeah. Looked like Bill Cower. At one point, they use a floppy disk in this movie.
How old is this movie? It's 2001, though. That's kind of...
People still using floppy disks back then?
For older computers, yeah. I used to use floppy disks in 2001.
Yeah.
I love the moment when that douchey guy shows up in a mesh shirt,
because why not?
Because why not? It's 2001. Why not?
2001. Right.
Come on.
Everybody, love the party scenes. I love the party scenes. And I really want to know how much money Corona made off of advertising in this movie. Because
all they had was Corona. And Vin Diesel's like, "You can have any beer you want so long as it's Corona." And I was like, "Whoa, too soon."
Oh boy.
I'm so happy you're going down this road. Sean, you need to get on this train.
I feel like
train's already left the station.
Fast and Furious, because I've seen most of the first three. So I'll hop on at number 4.
Okay.
But I also love their genius mechanic who, you know, has ADD, which is totally what he has. Like, it looks like they just kind of like vaguely understood what ADD was and then like vaguely confused it with autism, but they didn't get either one of them right.
Right. He's just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just a weird guy who likes cars.
Yeah, it's like, all right. But this movie, man.
God, I love this movie. I want to listen to the soundtrack of this movie right now.
Oh, God. Anyways.
I do own it. I did own it on CD.
I remember listening to it.
Ja Rule has a song in it where the first line is, "Go fast and the furious."
Wait, what?
Ja Rule, it's just at the first line of the song is, "Go fast and the furious." Ja Rule coming at you.
Oh, boy, Sam.
Should we get a roll?
Olympics. He's got a bunch of notes, right?
Oh yeah, he definitely looks like he has a pad of paper.
Oh yeah, yeah, I have a whole bunch of notes. I've gone through most of them, so.
Read a song by Funkmaster Flex and Ashanti, R.I.P.
Oh, that song. I love that song, too. Oh, man. Great soundtrack.
Oh, God.
So, the journey has begun.
Yeah.
It's now a marathon. And then there's that moment at the end where Vin Diesel's, like, on a hill in his Dodge Charger. And, like, I was just like, why does he look like Bambi's dad? Like, just sitting on the hill, and Paul Walker's looking up at him, like, Vin Diesel, I must chase you down.
Is he going to get a shot? Well, no, Bambi's dad didn't get shot, right? No,
Bambi's dad didn't get shot. His mom got shot.
Yeah. Shit. Well.
Well.
Anyways. I think it's time to, like, cut the bullshit here.
Yeah, let's get to the good stuff. Tigers. Yeah, so Tiger King, a new docuseries on Netflix. It dropped over the weekend. And
was it that long ago? Because, like, I feel like people have been talking about it before, so.
Yeah, no. Like I only heard about it recently. I know it dropped in 2020, but yeah, it's about people who own big cats. Mainly, there's three people. There's Joe Exotic, there's Doc Antle, and there's Carol Baskins. Those are the three main characters that it follows. And it's just about the wild and crazy antics these people go through.
It's about the wild and crazy world of big cat owning.
Well, it's about those three, though. Like, they're very closely tied together.
By the way, it came
out March 20th. It did come out this past weekend.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So, the bomb's still going off. The fallout is still active. Okay. Look, we're very much aware of the Netflix documentary experience. It's, you know, there's been a bunch that have come through our lives now. I think my biggest hang up with a lot of these is they're like 7-hour versions of a 3-hour story. But the 3-hour story is pretty good, mm-hmm. but they're just kind of too long and overwrought.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. This show is insane. Like, literally everybody on this show, except for maybe four people, and they interview like 60, are just crazy people. And even like the seemingly more normal ones, like the backgrounds are just, like there's this one guy who seems pretty normal. And then you see, like, there's a bunch of
masks
or whatever. And it's like, what the fuck is
that? Oh, yeah. He's the guy, the homicide inspector. And you just, like, look in that room that he's in. He's got that, like, monkey butler statue. There's the masks on the wall. There's literally a mask of a face on the wall. Not just, like, the smile faces. It's like a person's face, like a lady's face. It's...
Right.
The creepiest thing ever.
There's the guy who's the friend of Carol Baskin's ex-husband who, like, has these two, like, kind of weird and gaudy, like, wedding pictures and then a gun safe.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is a very, very small part of the show. Look, here's the thing. I like documentaries. I'm not really in it so much for the literal story as much as the actual people, because I feel like there's some people out there, like fictional storytelling, because all these people are like crazy enough on their own. And this like really, really is up that alley.
Yeah. All these characters are insane. And like, Chris, you've watched the first three episodes, correct?
Yeah. So, my two takes on this are first and foremost, after watching the first episode, I am so happy to have people like this in this country. Because it really just shows how far you can reach on the other side of the spectrum of just, I mean, just any group you want to think of, whether it's class, whether it's intelligence, whether it's just common sense. I mean, it's just, whether it's sexuality. I mean, it's just, it's some of these people are just, you really cannot make this stuff up. And these people are the inspiration for writing some of these really messed up stories that we can actually get that are not documentaries on Netflix, you know?
Right.
So it's just, what I really like about this is 7 episodes long. And after this, after the first episode, I'm like, I cannot wait. This is awesome. I cannot wait to binge this thing. And then the second episode, it kind of stayed with the same people and it introduced the guy who has 12 girlfriends, wives, yeah, whatever.
Doc Adler or Adler.
But then and then at the second episode I lost steam a little bit. I'm like, look, I'll start the third one, but I don't want to see any more of these guys. They need to change up the storytelling a little bit. And then the third episode they switch and be like, this chick's a murderer. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. The second episode ends with that big bombshell that she might have killed her husband.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, great turn. You know, let's keep this riding. Let's keep this going. And then in the back of my head, I'm like, all right, well, the guy called from prison, so something's going on with him. And I have no idea what happened with the story. I have no idea, and I refuse to look because I just want to see documentary presents. And I just want to go for this ride. And it's just, I think it just, it brings, oh, God, I can't even, it brings to light, there's this saying up in New England where, and I don't know if it's for the rest of the country, but it's like Florida, not like the rest of us. And this fits solely into this category. This is the reason why that statement exists. And then
Could I say one thing?
Yeah.
It's the upset special of the fucking millennium that, like, the only one in Florida is Carol Baskins, who, like, is sort of maybe the most normal of the three. Like, and she's the one. Florida. The other two are not in Florida, and that's like, wild.
You look at them, and like based on looks alone, you're like, yeah, she's the normal one. But then you spend 5 minutes with them, and it's like maybe Joe Exotic's the normal one, I have a coworker who actually applied for a job at Big Cat Rescue when she graduated from college, had no idea.
Yes.
And she found out that she doesn't pay. And so she was like, oh, well, I don't want to work there anymore. And then as she was watching this documentary, she was like, oh, my God, this was the place. And, like, everything just, like, clicked in her head. But, like, you look at how they treat their employees, all three of them. And it's like, how do you choose who has it the best? Like, you have one – Joe Exotic pays his employees $150 a week – and they have to scrounge through that Walmart truck to get their food for the week.
Yeah, and they all live in trailers on the grounds with no running water.
And then you have Doc Adler, who is literally a cult leader.
He is a cult leader.
He makes people change their name legally. He has them, and they live for...
He only hires, like, virgins or something.
Yeah, he loves virgins.
And, like, the chicks he hires are, like, very attractive.
Oh, yeah. And, like, but he only pays $100 a week.
Well, let's be careful with that word. Let's be careful with that word.
But he... What word?
Some of them aren't as good looking as I guess others would assume.
I guess, but it's South Carolina.
I would say, like 80% are very attractive.
Yeah. I mean, the girl that they talked to who defected... I was talking about how
defected.
Yeah,
went to the other side.
Yeah, so like she was talking about how like they scheduled her for a boob job, and she was like, "I didn't want a boob job. I didn't say yes to a boob job, but it gave me 5 days off of work, so I said yes." Like,
oh yeah, that's messed up.
Yeah, like he's literally running a cult, and like he even talks about it. He's like, Yeah. Everybody says it's a cult. It's a cult. Oh, we've been down that road before. Oh, whatever. And he doesn't deny it. He just acknowledges it. And like he works with in Hollywood and stuff. Like, so like at the first episode, you're like, oh, this guy's the normal one. And then you find out all this. So like you got Joe Exotic, $150 a week. You have Doc Adler, who's $100 a week. And then you have Carol, who literally does not pay her employees unless you've worked there for over 5 years. Because her reasoning is, if you want to do this, you're willing to do it for free.
Right.
I guess,
and
it's,
and I
just
love how she has all the different levels with like the shirts, yeah, and everything.
Yeah, the
and
different,
like,
color.
Because that's another big cool thing too.
Oh yeah, and where he was like, oh, if you've been here 5 years, you get the blue shirts. He's like, oh, it's navy blue. Like, corrects him on the right color. Like,
yeah, it's not the royal blue.
Yeah, I thought, oh my god.
So let's just get a poll of the room here. Sure. Do you guys think that? Well, I'm going to lump them together, but Joe and that other guy, I forget his name.
Doc Adley.
Do you think those guys are in the wrong with what they're doing?
So, okay. I've seen a complaint about this. It was like a review talking about how, like, this whole series, like, misses the mark. How, you know, it's not really about, like, the Tigers being kept in captivity and all these, like, sick and horrible practices. And I'm like, dude, that's established, like, 20 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, not even up for debate. And, like, I think the only real question is, like, whether what Carol Baskin is doing is, like, more or less. No, I mean, these people should be having these fucking things.
Yeah, no, it. But, like, you have these three big cat sanctuaries, if you want to call them that. And, I mean, you watch this show and...
But they're not, like, you say sanctuaries, they're not, like maybe the big cat one is, Big Cat Rescue is. The other ones, they're just, like, raising them. Like, they're breeding tigers.
But
which,
that's the,
like,
thing with the Big Cat Rescue is they were doing exactly that. They, like, when they started off, that's exactly what they were doing, is they were breeding these animals to sell.
Right.
So, like...
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right. They do say later on how, like, she's literally... Like, that's exactly how she did it.
Yeah.
Like, she bought, like, 20 of them. Now, she does say it's sort of, like, out... You know, it was to, like, avoid them going to a taxidermist or something like that. Like, they were going to be killed.
Well, she was buying them for that reason. But then they started to... Because her ex-husband, the one that's missing...
Yeah.
He disappeared.
We're going to get into that.
Yeah. How he wanted to establish it as breeding, and that's what they did for the first, you know, almost 10 years of owning this facility, is they bred and they sold to private owners and, like, different places around the U.S. And it wasn't until she changed the name to Big Cat Rescue that all of a sudden she was like, you know, breeding is wrong. It's like, well, what you've been doing this whole time is exactly what you're saying is wrong. But,
right.
Like, it's just such a messed up situation where you're trying to decide which one of these three is the good one. And I don't think there's an answer there. I don't think there is a good one.
Can I throw something at you that I realized during the third episode, when Joe Exotic is, like, fucking around with her and, like, makes that video of, like, here, kitty, kitty, or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, that's fucking great.
That was phenomenal.
So you know what I realized? That Carol Baskin is Hillary and Joe Exotic is Trump.
Am I wrong? You're not... like, ridiculously off.
I mean, it's like, it's like, you watch it in that framework and it's like, it's almost perfect. And, like, you know, we won't have to get any kind of political more than that. And then we'll say Doc Adler's Joe Biden.
Sleepy Joe.
But there's just this, you know, like, incredibly insane, and this maybe goes on the first four episodes. The show kind of narrows. Like, the first three are different than, like, the last.
It's hard.
Rewind pretty much of, like, Joe Exotic.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry. Yeah, your connection is a little poor today.
Yeah. All right. I'll try to address that. My larger point was that the first three episodes are kind of wide in focus, and it gets narrow as like the back half. It's more Joe Exotic.
Is it? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, because I was wondering where they were going to go after that one, because that's that like her killing her husband thing was pretty pretty intense.
Yeah.
Don't worry. There's plenty of crazy stuff just about Joe. Like, he's it doesn't end anytime soon. It's like the show, it spirals.
Yeah. The third episode, I'm like, all right, well, the chick is the villain, clearly, because they didn't establish Joe's issues yet.
Yeah. Did you want us to weigh in on what we think of the third episode? Like, as far as do we think she killed him or whatever?
Allegedly? Oh, yeah. I saw that episode, so we can definitely talk about that.
So what do you think, Chris? Chris, what do you think?
She definitely 100% killed him. It's just way too – there is way too many coincidences. Yeah.
Like the fact that his will says upon my disappearance –
yeah, like, and the no fact one that says he that. Had a restraining order placed against her, and not to mention, like, the day before he left, they broke in, her and her father broke in to get the will or something like that. It's just...
Or how about when they searched the airport, there was the Jeep there, and they were like, ah, just bring it back to the rescue place, we'll get to it in, like, a week or something.
Yeah, I think it's just also a severe lack of...
Yeah, the cops were just bad.
The cops were not spectacular at their job.
Well, they talk about how her brother is the is with the sheriff's deputy. So but she's like, oh, but you know, I really didn't speak to my brother. He was 9 when I left the house, as a kid. So I never had a relationship with my brother. But like, there's
even 13 years old and 9 years old. That's still a pretty. That's not a big gap.
Yeah. And
you plus, should still be able to talk to your brother.
There's a bunch of pictures of them together. Like, tons of them. They kept showing pictures of them together. So, like, obviously, there's a relationship there. So, like, then all of a sudden, guy goes missing. And, like, it works too well. She killed him. Like, it fits too perfectly. But they have no evidence. And I love how they were like, if a cat ate it, there would be bones and stuff, and like Joe Exotic, like not just before that, is like if you feed an animal, their stomachs are so acidic it would just dissolve the bone. There would be no bone left.
No, but I think that's I think that's like bullshit though, Sean. He was talking about a turkey and like bird bones are different than people bones.
Right. But I'm just saying like there's like so many things that come up in this.
No, it's
like,
sketch.
Yeah, it's
well here. Here's the one thing, though, right? I mean, so who is it? Is it the lawyer? Who, by the way, fantastic tie.
Yes, the polka dot tie. Yeah.
I think it's all fruit, because there's like a banana on there,
is it
too.
Fruit? I thought it was polka dots.
I think it's fruit.
Oh, man.
I know, it kind of looks like polka dots. I think it's fruit. Anyway. So does he posit the theory of like somebody threw him out of a plane? Or somebody brings it up, whatever.
Oh, yeah. I think she did. She brought it up.
She did?
Oh, like executive assistant or whatever. Or no, the wife.
Yeah, Carol is the one who brought it up. Like, if he was thrown out of an airplane flying over the Gulf of Mexico, we would never find the body.
Oh, I don't think that's what she did, but...
No, I don't think so either.
I don't know. But here's the thing, though, is, like, I think she, like... Florida is sketchy as hell. Right, and granted, it's Tampa; they're not Miami. But like, I think just in general, like, I wouldn't be surprised if like a guy like this was involved with shady people.
Yeah, I guess, but
I mean, I have no proof for that either. But
it seems like he was more of a. Not a recluse, but like a on his own type of guy.
Yeah,
and I don't know. Nothing about what she has been saying makes me think that she's innocent.
Yeah, not at all
by any means. Nothing about because you can only go on what they say. Notice
every time she talks about her husband's death, she laughs.
Oh yeah, that's
it's so creepy.
She looks.
Yeah, like she's like looking off away from the camera, starts laughing, and she's like, "It wasn't me." Like it was just, oh man, it's just super sketchy.
Would I tell if I did it. No.
And then on the flip side, you have what, episode 2, where it deals with the drug dealer, the guy who's like, yeah, Scarface is based off of me.
Oh, yeah, he's that
the
guy.
Only, like, sane person in the show.
It's true, though. He is. And I love how, like, the lead up to the meeting with this guy, they're like, you will never get into his facility. And then, like, he shows up and they're like, yeah, no, you have to leave. And, like, no one ever goes in there. And then he talks to a guy. He's like, oh, yeah, I used to help him. Let me make a call. He's let right in. And, like, just interviews the guy. And the whole time he's like,
then, like, they go into his office and there's like a glass case with like a skull in it.
Oh, yeah,
like,
that's like, the skull. From a book, the mini and, head. Like,
not talking about it.
Oh, man. Yeah, he is. I love that character and I wish he would come back, but I knew it was like a one and done. But I just love how he was like talking about all of his crimes, like every single crime, like open about it.
Yeah, I mean, what I realized here is like, and Sean, you're calling them characters when they're real people, but they are legit like characters. Like if this was a Coen Brothers movie, these people would not be believable. Like the fact that it's real life is just...
Yeah.
It's insane. It's fucking crazy. And then there's other guys they talk to too, like the guy in Ohio who just has like the monkey with him the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, was that the drug dealer's house where like the wife's like opening up the closet with all the baby clothes they put on the monkeys?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, and it was like these are all the boys and these are all the girls' clothes, and it's like, oh my god. Like, talking about going down to, like, Babies R Us and buying everything down there. It's like, oh, my God.
So, like, am I crazy, or was there, like, a good 5 minutes, maybe, in, like, the first or second episode, where it sort of, like, subtly implied that, like, Doc Adler was, like, fucking the Tigers?
Oh, like, how he keep... Was it Doc Adler who calls him sexy, or is that, Joe?
I don't know, but it was definitely, like, they kept talking about, like, a love for the Tigers and, like, the way they were describing it and the way that he was, like, feeling up the Tiger in that shot. Like, it was Jesus. Just very...
I'm not ready for that yet.
Yeah. What I like about this is that, like, it's not supposed to be, like, a parody, like, really at all, and yet it comes across as one because it's, like, incredibly like self-serious, like all these great like slow-mo shots of people. Morris like heavily like a lot of like cinematography and shit like that. Like I honestly think it's almost more funny and like in some ways it almost does what American Vandal did, but it's like actually real life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just every twist this show goes through, even past the third episode, it's comical, like how it gets to these points and like what's happening. And it's just like, you can't make this stuff up.
Like, because Sean, am I crazy to say that it's like a constant like seesaw of like, oh, maybe Joe Exotic's actually like the better guy. And then it's like, oh, maybe it's Carol. Or then maybe it's this other dude. Like,
yeah,
like it's as soon as you like settle on one, they rip it out. They rip the rug out from under you.
It's like, oh, this person's really nice. Oh, I feel bad for him. Now he's murdering babies. It's like, what the hell? Like, now I can't side with him. He's evil. And like, yeah, but this other person who now you think is good is doing something even worse. It's like, oh my God. It's it's bad. Like, but this is some of the best TV I've watched in a long time. And I cannot wait to finish this.
It's incredible. Have you gotten to the point where Jeff Lowe shows up?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that dude. And it's like it's an unlimited supply of crazy people.
Oh yeah, like just randomly people show up and you're like, this person kind of looks, nope, they're insane. Like it's like it's just everybody that's involved is insane. And I love it, but it's scary at the same time.
I couldn't, like, I highly recommend this. Yes.
If you enjoy fun characters in a show, I mean, this is it. I mean, if you think your job sucks, I mean, look at the conditions these people work in. I mean, some girl literally gets her arm ripped off and comes back to work 5 days later.
And you see it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's blurred, but
really getting ripped off, but you get to see, like right after. And yeah. It's like, yeah, why are you guys filming this? This is like kind of fucking weird.
Yeah.
And then the other guy, the zipline guy.
Yeah.
Who's like, there's no such thing as a spoiler.
Not in this show.
But the zipline guy who's like, yeah, no, I was paralyzed and then I just like walked my legs into the ground or whatever because it was all bone. Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah. He's like, but I have these bitching legs now. And but.
Yeah, the girl who got her arm ripped off, she's like, I was in the hospital for 7 days.
Yeah.
5 after my amputation.
Right. She didn't want to stay any longer because it would look bad for the
for $150 a week.
And she was like, it was my fault, my mistake, but everybody's trying to pin it on Joe. And she's like, I just wanted to get back to work just to, you know, for good measure. It's like, you just got your arm amputated. Like, take some time. But that brings up like a nice thing that Joe does is he goes around town. He finds people who are like at the end of their rope and he's like, I will give you a job. And he hires these people off the road.
You have to live on the premises, but don't get running water.
Well, you have. You have the
120 degree like fucking like trailer. Like,
yeah, but I mean, I think,
like people who got literally nowhere else. I mean,
right. Like that's the thing. Like, but the way this show sells it is like he finds people at the end of their rope and he gives them a job. And like, you know, if they have nowhere else to be, they're going to try at that job. And that's his philosophy. They're not going to half-ass it if this is all they have left, which is like partially like, well, good for him. And partially like he's taking advantage of people who are literally at the end of their rope and like they have nothing else. Like he's exploiting them.
Yeah.
So like
it's the Oklahoma equivalent of the LOL system. There we go. I gotta rise out of Sam on that one.
So any final thoughts on this wonderful docuseries?
I'm thoroughly impressed.
Yeah.
Thoroughly impressed.
You gotta finish it. It's oh my god. I can't wait till you learn more about his husbands.
wait, hold on. I
know the no, two. No.
I know of the two.
There's an episode where they go in depth about the husbands and like.
Oh, really? Okay.
You see pictures of the wedding is.
Oh my god.
Between all three of them.
Yeah, you already saw. I believe that.
Yeah, we saw it. I saw that.
But
they have like a blanket with a print of three of them on it.
Yeah. And oh yeah, no. Like when you get into everything about the husbands and everything, like. That episode is like where you're like, Joe has lost it. I think Joe has officially lost it. But that's for another day.
And he just his voice too is just so like it's so funny.
Yeah, it's comical.
Like it's not pleasant to listen to.
Not at all.
All right. Any final thoughts?
I just want to know like what this director was thinking and how he came to get like this topic, you know.
Well, he explains it in the opening scene. He was doing a documentary on snakes and like the sell and purchase of like wild snakes, and then the guy was like, hey, you want to see what I bought, and opened his van and it was a snow leopard. And he was like, how did you get a snow leopard? He's like, it's easy, I'll show you. And like he just went down that rabbit hole, and this is what he got.
Yeah, I get it. It's just like I want to know the chain of events, how we got those people.
Oh, I know.
To actually do an interview. It's just like, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, and this like it's the thing about documentaries too, like one like this. Like, this took a while to do.
Yeah, it was 5 years.
Like, this, like, yeah, at least 5 years. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Let alone just all the footage he got and all that. Like,
it's literally. Together. Yeah, it's crazy how in 5 years all of this happened.
Right.
Like, this is something that you'd be like, oh, over a span of 20, 30 years, all this stuff might happen. But no, this is like every year something insane happens to these people. It's like, how? And then you realize who they are.
Yeah. They're just that type of personality.
Yeah. All right. Well, no final thoughts on anything? Sam, nah. We haven't heard from you in a while. You going to check out this docuseries?
Oh, well, definitely, yeah. like, I previously had heard of Joe Exotic because he ran for president.
Did you really?
Oh, they go into it. Don't worry.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
So, I remember hearing about that, and just the name stuck in my head. And last night, Sean, you mentioned Joe Exotic. I'm like, I know that name. And you're like, yeah, he raised his tigers. I'm like, I remember hearing that he raised tigers.
Oh, man. All right. Well,
this guy.
So, odds are we will do a final conversation on this next week. Yeah. So, I guess if you like our podcast, you can find us on Stitcher, on Podbean, and on iTunes. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. Send us a like, a review, please. We really enjoy that, and we hope to hear from many of you soon. Have a great week.
Bye.
Be safe. Stay away from the tigers.